Well, thank you, all of you, for being here. You know that every so often, we all need a lesson in obedience and encouragement. And who better to use as an example other than the Lord Jesus than the Apostle Paul? Turn your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 11? He said, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." Now turn your Bibles to Philippians 3, chapter 3. Paul said in Philippians chapter 3 and verse 17, he said, "Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an example." In chapter 4, turn over to one chapter, chapter 4 and verse 9, Paul went on to say, "Those things which you have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you." So I believe this evening's lesson teaches us obedience and a lesson of encouragement that we need to reach that goal of heaven, which all of us are striving for. Now, there are many fascinating Bible characters. Each of them is outstanding because of some superior character's trait. We admire Job on account of his patience, Abraham because of his faith, Joseph for his great virtue, Moses for his meekness. Peter, James, Matthew, John, all of them play a part in our learning by showing us things about themselves. Even the lesser lights, like Barnabas and John Mark and Apollos, are greatly admired for contributions that they have made to us through the moral strengths we see declared in them. But aside from our Lord Jesus, there was never a man quite like Paul the Apostle. Of all the Bible personalities, his life stands out as the most exemplary. The depth of Paul's commitment is awesome. His zeal is wonderful, and he was not capable of being fatigued in the work of the Lord. His personal determination to glorify God through the fulfillment of his commission enabled him to overcome what to some would be insuperable difficulties. His glowing enthusiasm enabled him to address even kings and rulers with both candidness and expectations. His insatiable appetite for the converts to the cause of Christ caused him to preach the gospel even to the guards who stood watch for him and even to the household of Caesar itself. He was beaten with stripes on 5 occasions. 3 times his back felt the sting of rods. He is shipwrecked. He was shipwrecked 3 times, even spent a day and a night in the deep. He was constantly in danger, and his travels no doubt brought him chronic illness. He oftentimes suffered hunger and exposure to the elements. He was repeatedly badgered by his countrymen who counted him as a traitor, and even swore out an oath on his life. And in the midst of all this, his greatest pain and agony seems to have come not from his almost unbearable difficulties, but from his constant anxiety over the churches he had left scattered throughout the Roman Empire during his several missionary tours. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians, if you would, verse 4, chapter 4. Now, in spite of all his troubles, his attitude in verse 17 of 2 Corinthians 4 says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more exceeding and eternal weight of glory." That's what he told the Corinthians. Can you imagine it? All he went through, and he says, "For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far more and exceeding and eternal weight of glory." Paul's readiness to preach the gospel is a divine force, ever burning and unquenchable fire. He seems bent on preaching where there is difficulty and pain, and almost would seem because of his earlier rejection of Christ. He wants to be everywhere at once. He wanted to be part of every sermon. He wanted to be part of every success, and perhaps even every failure. And nowhere is Paul so clearly the missionary statesman as in the book of Romans. This is where I want to start our lesson this evening. So go on and turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 1, if you would. Now in the first chapter of the letter to the Romans, the Apostle Paul is laying the foundation for what is, in my opinion, the most comprehensive and complete discourse on the subject of obedient faith to be found anywhere in the pages of God's inspired Word. For the starting point of our lesson this evening, I would like to turn to Romans chapter 1, and let's look at verses 13 through 16. The Bible says in verse 13, "Now I would not have you ignorant, brethren, that oftentimes I purposed to come unto you, but was let hitherto, that I might have some fruit among you also, even as among other Gentiles. I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and to the unwise. So as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also." Verse 16, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Now the phrase that I want us to pay particularly close attention to is used by the Apostle Paul three times in those four short verses. I want to talk to you this evening about the I ams of Paul, the I ams of the Apostle Paul. And the first one is found in verse 14. The Apostle Paul wrote, "I am debtor both to the Greeks and to the barbarians, both to the wise and the unwise." Now, we need to realize that it was not anything the Greeks or the barbarians had done for Paul that put him in debt to them. It was not some favor promised or performed on his behalf that made Paul feel obligated to these people. It was something else altogether. Jesus Christ had suffered and died on the cross for Paul, and he had redeemed Paul. He had made salvation possible for Paul. Jesus made Paul an heir of heaven. In doing all that he did, Jesus brought Paul under obligation to do all that he could to carry the message of those same blessings and their availability to all everywhere that he could. Paul was a debtor to others because of what the Lord Jesus had done for him. This is the sense in which Paul made the statement, "I am debtor." And that very statement raises a question for us. Was the Apostle Paul on any other obligation that we as Christians are not also under? Are we not in the same debt that Paul is or was? Did not Jesus die for us personally? Did he not redeem us and make salvation possible for us and make us heirs of heaven? The answer to all these questions, of course, is a resounding yes. The Lord's people have a very real obligation to go to the lost and teach them the gospel. And this obligation was put upon our shoulders by the Lord, and it was accepted by every Christian when we willingly obeyed the gospel. Every one of us. In our obedience, we became servants of our Lord. As His servants, we must remember that we are the salt of the earth. We are the light of the world. And that places us under a very important spiritual obligation to all men. Turn with me to Matthew, the 5th chapter. I know it's a familiar passage. Matthew chapter 5. Our Lord Jesus said in Matthew 5, verses 13 through 16, He says, "Ye are the salt of the earth. But if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house." Please listen to verse 16. "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven." Did you note the obligation there? It is to let your light so shine. So why do we do that? We do that so that people might see our good works, that they might learn from us, that they might obey the gospel and glorify the Father in heaven. This is the calling of a Christian. Citizens of heaven, Christians are to the human race as salt is to food, a preservative. So let us notice something else about the statement that Paul made. Paul said, I am debtor. I am debtor, he says. Notice now, this was a personal debt. The obligation that Paul was under to the lost and to the wise and unwise was a personal obligation. It was not something that was to be left to the church as a unit only, but rather it was something that Paul himself felt an obligation to do. I believe that there is a very real danger for folks to sit back and figure that everybody else is going to do it. I think there's a real danger to figure that other people in the congregation are going to go door to door in the neighborhood, or that other people will invite their friends to the services, or that other people will have Bible studies in their home. Brethren, so many feel no personal responsibility to take the gospel to the lost, even when the lost are standing right next to them at work. That's just not right, brethren. Let's be honest with ourselves and be honest with the Lord. How many of us really feel that personal responsibility to the lost? How many of us are personally trying to spread the good news? Brethren, it is true that we are under the same obligation that Paul was under, and that is a personal obligation. Turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 9, if you would. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. We must get to the point, brethren, where we feel as Paul did when he wrote in 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 16. He said, for though I preach the gospel, I have nothing to glory of, for necessity is laid upon me, yea, woe is unto me if I preach not the gospel. Now, I know we're not all required to be preachers of the gospel in the sense of full-time evangelists, but we all do have the obligation to others of what Jesus did for us. And we should feel, woe is unto me if I don't fulfill that obligation. Something else we might say about fulfilling that debt is that we cannot meet it by dealing only with a certain type of individual that we might be accustomed to dealing with. Whether an individual is rich or poor, black or white, educated or uneducated, whatever it might be, we have an obligation to that individual to try to teach him what he must do to be saved. Don't matter who he is. Just think. If Paul had only taught those with whom he was accustomed to dealing with, he would have stayed only with the Jews. And that being even with the educated Jews, the cultured Jews at that. He would not have been the apostle to the Gentiles. Instead, he said he was a debtor to all. Now turn with me back to Romans 1 and verse 15, if you would. Romans chapter 1 and verse 15. The second I am that I want to look at occurs in verse 15 of Romans 1. Paul says, so as much as is in me is, I am ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome also. Now there's a whole lot there that we could get out of that short verse. For instance, the attitude displayed by Paul. He said, as much as in me is, in other words, with everything I've got, I want to preach the gospel to you. Certainly, there is a lesson there for you and for me. But I want us this evening to focus on the I am. Paul said, I am ready. He said, I am ready. He was under an obligation and he was ready to fulfill that obligation. And we're under the same obligation and we must be ready to fulfill it as well. First, there's a great deal involved in being ready. To be ready demands willingness. That's the first thing, willingness. By saying that he was ready, Paul was expressing his willingness to go and preach the gospel in Rome. It is one thing to be under a debt and to recognize that debt, but another thing altogether to be willing to do something about it. Christians are to be willing to engage ourselves in the work. We have to be willing to endure the hardships and inconveniences that fulfilling our debt might bring upon us. It's easy to see that part of being ready to do something is to be willing to do it. Another part of being ready to perform a task is being capable of doing it. A man might be completely willing to serve the Lord in some capacity, yet he may lack the capability of doing it. That's nothing to be ashamed of. Not everybody can be a preacher. Not everybody can teach a Bible class. Not everybody can lead singing. But I tell you what, everybody, and I mean everybody, can invite someone to hear the preacher or invite someone to a Bible class that another will be conducting. We can all do that. Everybody can hand another person a tract to read and study. For the one who is willing, there's always an area in which they are capable of serving. So often, though, there are those who are capable but unwilling. That's the sad part. In order to be ready, as Paul said he was, we have got to be prepared. We cannot teach something that we don't know. And we will never know something unless we study to learn it. That is the only way. As Christians, we have the obligation to study and prepare ourselves. Paul put it this way. Turn to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Paul put it this way in 2 Timothy 2 and verse 15. He said, "Study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth." What did Paul say? He says, study. Study to show yourself approved unto God. Now, also, I think of the commendation given to the Bereans. You remember that in Acts 17 and verse 11? Let's look at that. Acts 17 and verse 11. Paul said these were more noble. He's talking about the Bereans here. These were more noble than those in Thessalonica, in that they received the word with all readiness of mind and searched the scriptures daily, whether those things were so. What did he do? What did they do? They searched the scriptures daily. Notice too, if you might, they didn't even take the great apostle Paul's word. They studied it. They searched the scriptures daily to make sure what he was telling them was the truth. And that is why, brethren, I encourage you not to take my word. Don't take any man's word, only the God's word, the Bible. Now, let me ask you, can you think of a better way to prepare ourselves to search than to search the scriptures daily? What was it that Peter told us about being prepared? Let's look at 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. 1 Peter 3 and verse 15. Peter says, "But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asketh you a reason of the hope that is in you with meekness and fear." How can you be ready to give an answer? Only one way, by studying and learning the Bible. Studying the Bible. You cannot learn the Bible by just opening it on Sunday and Wednesday. That won't work. You can't learn it that way. You have to study it. And never, never let us forget the warning in Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Let's go back and read that. That is one of my favorites. Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. What a warning here, brethren. What a warning. Never, never let us forget the warning in Hosea 4 and verse 6, where God said through the prophet Hosea, "My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because thou hast rejected knowledge, I will also reject thee." What did he say? What did God say? He said, "My people are destroyed." Why are they destroyed, God? For lack of knowledge. Well, what happens then? Well, what happens then? I will reject you. He said, "I will reject you." God made it pretty clear that if you don't study the Bible and have knowledge of Him, and my friends, the only way that I know how to get this knowledge is by studying the Bible. You won't make it to heaven if you don't study your Bible. So take heed. Study your Bible. Come to Bible class. Another point about this particular I am of the Apostle Paul. In order to truly be ready to teach the gospel, you've got to have a fervent desire to do so. A desire to teach goes a little beyond the willingness to do so. Let's go back to Romans chapter 1. And this time we'll look at verse 11. In Romans chapter 1 and verse 11, Paul said, "For I long to see you." And that shows a true desire. We must long to teach the truth. We must look forward to the opportunities to do so with an air of eager anticipation. What possible better way is there to spend our time? All of these things went together to make Paul ready, and they will do the same for us. Let's look at Romans chapter 1 and verse 16 now. That's the last I am that I want to look at, found in Romans 1:16. Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Paul had no sense of embarrassment about the gospel that he preached. The fact that it did not always suit others was no doubt a source of discomfort to him, but he never diminished his respect for that gospel nor made him feel the least bit ashamed of it. And even when he was in dire straits, he neither one time apologized for the gospel that he preached or expressed any contrition for the circumstances it had brought him. Remember early in the lesson, we discussed some of Paul's trials and tribulations. Now let's think more about Paul's life as a Christian for just a moment. And because of the fact that he preached the gospel, Paul had been forced to suffer humility and punishment. His own nation had cast him off. He had been cast out of Antioch of Pisidia. He was stoned at Lystra. He was beaten and imprisoned at Philippi. He was forced to flee from Thessalonica to escape his enemies. He was mocked by the philosophers at Athens. He was persecuted at Corinth. And remember, he was a victim of mob violence at Ephesus. Remember what he wrote in 2 Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 28? Let's read that together. Second Corinthians 11, verse 24 through 28. Most of us know this, but I think it's always good to come back and read it. Sometimes we think we've got it hard. Listen to what the Apostle Paul said in 2 Corinthians chapter 11, beginning with verse 24. He said, "Of the Jews, five times received I 40 stripes, save one. Thrice was I beaten with rods. Once was I stoned. Thrice I suffered shipwreck. A night and a day I have been in the deep. In journeys often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils by mine own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, because beside those things that are without, that which cometh unto me daily, the care of all the churches." And now in this Roman letter, Paul wanted to preach the gospel at Rome. Rome, the greatest city the world had ever known. The place of riches and pomp and glory and power and learning. And into this city, Paul longed to bring the simple and the humble teachings of the gospel of Christ. And yet he was not ashamed. Why was he not ashamed? Well, listen closely. Because the gospel Paul was bringing had God as its source. It had Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation as its subject matter. It had the Holy Spirit as its revelator and heaven as its ultimate goal. That gospel is the power of God. That goal and that gospel only can lead a man to heaven. And that gospel will last until the end of time. So how does that compare with the great Roman Empire? Staying in 2 Corinthians, turn your Bibles to chapter 4. Let's listen to how Paul describes the gospel in 2 Corinthians 4 and verse 4. He described it this way. He said, "In whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them." Brethren and friends, it was a glorious gospel that Paul was bringing, and it is a glorious gospel that we're privileged to preach and teach today. Paul was not ashamed of it, and neither can we be. It is the same gospel. It's still the power of God unto salvation. So soldiers of Christ, arise. That's us. Arise. There's a noble conflict to be waged, a great work to be done. There are souls to be saved. There are battles to be won. Our strength is in our leader, Jesus Christ, who will, and let us follow him and do battle for his cause. He will lead us to victory. May we all be able to leave this evening by saying, "I am debtor, under obligation to all because of what my Lord Jesus Christ has done for me." Also saying, "I am ready, ready to teach that gospel, ready to illustrate my love for Christ and my fellow man by teaching him how to get to heaven." And most assuredly saying, "I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ." And I couldn't think of leaving this building this evening without looking at what Paul told Timothy as his life was coming to a violent end. Let's read together this beautiful passage found in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Second Timothy chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. Remember now, Paul is getting ready to be killed by the Romans. He said in verse 6, "I am now ready to be offered, and the time of my departure is at hand. I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them also that love his appearing." What encouragement. I don't know about you, but these words are a great encouragement to me. So I ask you, if there's anyone here this evening who is not a Christian, please let us help you to become one. We beg you to come forward, and when we sing the invitation song, repent of your sins and confess Jesus as the Son of God, and then be baptized for the remission of your sins. Remember, brethren, Jesus has already done the hard part. He's done the hard part. He hung on that cross for us. He didn't even know us, but he hung on that cross for us. What a cruel way to die. But he did it because God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. If there's anyone here this evening who has fallen away and need to make your life right with God, please take care of it this evening. Jesus awaits your submission. Won't you come now as we stand and as we sing, Brother Bill.